folks, as I shared with you, I'm going, starting this morning, we'll be doing a series again. I love doing the series simply because that means I don't preach for an hour and a half. And that way I can pick back up, and I know you all appreciate that. But it's focused on live your calling. That's what I want to do, live your calling. But now here's something that is extremely important for you. If you don't get and you can't relate to this introductory message I'm going to bring you this morning, you definitely need to be here through the rest. If you do relate to this introductory sermon this morning, you need to be here also. Because if you don't get what I'm preaching this morning, you have a problem. And many Christians, I'm not saying you're not Christian, I'm saying you got a problem. And that problem is your walk with God. You see, you and I need to understand a great fact of life. Every one of us is called. Now, he's called to preach. He's called to teach. I do not know of one Christian that hasn't been called to teach and hasn't been called to preach. Now, I stand up and proclaim God's word in the preaching ministry in a particular way. You, every day of your life, along with me on the every day of my life, we preach a sermon every time we come in front of someone else. I guarantee you, you've stood in the mirror and you preached a sermon. Any of you husbands out here ever get your sermon preached to you? Oh, you all are lying. Oh, gosh. It ought to be good this morning, yes. Okay, so we need to understand every human being. Now get me on this. Every human being that exists has been called by God to do something. But here's one of our problems. Romans 8:28. We know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. We got a problem. Because we don't pay attention to the Word of God and accept the Word of God as the truth of God for our life. Oh, yeah, I know that all things are going to work together for the good. But, see, I need to slow down and back off because everything's bad right now. So, evidently, that was not of God because everything is bad. And God said that everything was going to be good. What God said was in His Word, that everything that you are confronted with in your life will be turned for the good for you. But it doesn't mean at the particular time it's happening to you, you see any good in it. Again, you go back to hitting your hand with a hammer. Lord, I know that's got to have a purpose behind it. But right now, I have no idea what the purpose is. Well, what the purpose was to get you talking where that other words did not come from your mouth after you hit your hand. At least you're talking to God instead of yelling profanity at him by using his name. Think of it. The call is for you. Well, now, preacher, wait a minute. If I'm called, why don't I feel called? Well, now, congregation, and those of you who are listening, you wait a minute. Would that not mean that you're not listening? Sometimes the phone is ringing and you don't pay any attention to it. Think of it. You, not thinking that you're worth anything, have been called by God to do many things, to glorify His kingdom, to strengthen you in the world in which we are now. Because, folks, we're not going to be here that long. We got a home in glory land that outshines the sun. You and I are just passing through, and on our passing through, God says, this is what I want you to do. If you're going to pass through, I want you to do something. I am going to give you a path in life. I'm going to give you your own story. Your story will not be like anybody else's story. It's your life story. Use your life story to glorify me. That's what God says. And he says, everything's going to work for the good. What's the good? The good is his purpose. It's his purpose. I bet you when a mother gives birth to a child, she doesn't think that that's really good at the moment. I've heard them giving birth. You know, that's the first time, I guess, I was introduced to a foreign language. Think of it. Through pain, God said something good's going to come. Now, moms, look at that beautiful child sitting to the right or to the left that has never, ever given you any trouble. That's a blessing. And a true blessing is when they're real, meaning they see life and they're real in life. You and I, as adults, we know what teenagers are going to do, and we know about every stage of life because you and I went through it. And we're sitting out there waving red flags and all of this. And I grew up hearing something. Those who don't listen have to feel. As a teenager, I never listened. I mean, I may have heard something, but I wasn't listening. Your mind is going in many different ways. But God says, this is part of your calling. Fighting the case of the stupids is a battle within our life. Listen to Ephesians 1, 18 and 19. My prayer is that light will flow from your hearts and that you will understand the hope that was given to you when God called you. Then you will discover the glorious blessings that will be yours together with all of God's people. So all of God's people have a calling. Here's something you may not have thought about. Every human being is given a calling. Let's get personal. I want you to look at 8 facts about our life's calling. And we're going to start with Matthew 22, 14. Powerful verse. For many are called, but few are chosen. God says, for every thing or person that I create, there's a purpose. You and I will live our life for a purpose, to find out which parts are of God and godly and which parts are those that were called to be good, but they're not chosen because they rejected. I know that this goes into a teaching that is very popular in this day and age of saying, see, you're called to do that, so therefore don't do anything because you can't do anything about what God called you to do, which I believe is a very foolish statement. God then would allow somebody to be born, and from birth, that individual was created to go to hell. I do not believe that. I've never seen it in Scripture. I do not believe that. Some were born, the Scripture says, and they'll use this, in for perdition or for evil. It's not that some are born for evil. Some that are born choose evil. Don't you ever let somebody tell you that you don't have a choice. You are what you are. Well, I am what I am in Christ also. And that I do believe that it is Jesus Christ who saw me before I was born. I'll read you the Scripture in a moment. And I know that in the searching of the Spirit of what we will be like, we're in a growing process. Well, when will you quit growing? Well, you know, there's no Scripture that lets us know that we ever will. Many people say, when I leave this body, I'll know everything. No, you won't. If you knew everything, you'd be God. You will never know what God knows. You will only know what you need to learn. If you and I are ever, forever, forever learning, and we know that once we've accepted Christ, we'll be with Him throughout eternity, then we will be learning throughout eternity what God wants us to know about Him and eternity. What, will there be an end to it? The Bible doesn't say there is. God said there's no end to His creation. Boy, we're going to be old, aren't we? Old and looking good. A glorified body given to us by Almighty God. So let's get personal with these eight facts. Fact number one, my calling is a gift from God. Your calling is a gift from God. It's God saying, I love you. Here's purpose for life. Here's purpose in your life. God says there's a purpose. Well, how do I find my purpose? What's God giving you a gift to do? Well, God's only giving me a gift to love people and pray for them. Only? One of the most powerful gifts that's ever given? The gift of prayer? Pray for me. For my grandmother went to be with the Lord. She said something to me when she was in this little trailer down in Greene County. And she said, Larry, I've outlived my welcome in the world. About 93. She died at 93. So I don't know why God keeps me here. And in the same breath almost, she says, I pray for you every day. I called her Mammy Nora. And I said, good enough for me, Mammy Nora. God keeping you around to pray for me. I like that. See, God works through us. He works in mysterious ways through us. You'll get a word from God from situations in your life that you never dreamed you would ever receive. You never even thought of it. Well, you can't outthink God. And you can't outlove God. And you can't change your calling once God's given it to you. Galatians 1:6, God, by His grace through Christ, has called you. Okay, who's He talking to? He's talking to the church. He's talking to the congregation, to the church, to the saved, to the Christians. God, by His grace through Christ, has called you to become His people. Now look at 2 Timothy 1:9. He has saved us and called us to a holy life. Holy means set apart for God's service. Set apart for God's service throughout life. Okay, think of it. We think, okay, that means until we die. No. Life is eternal. Christian, you're never going to die. So throughout life, we are set apart for His service, doing something. What are we going to be doing? I don't care. When I'm doing it for God throughout eternity, that's good for me. It's good to see the promises that God gives us. Not because of anything we have done, but because of His own purpose and grace. God said, I love you. Lord, I'm a mess. You're my mess. I love you. When we as Christians truly apply the love of Christ in our heart, then and only then can we see the Word of God. Then and only then, when we're thinking about the horrors that are going on throughout the world of all of our brothers and sisters who are Christians throughout many parts of the world are being slaughtered for their faith in Jesus Christ. And here we sit in America, watching it go down a little bit at a time to socialism, monarchy, There's a great monarch coming. His name is Jesus Christ. I will bow before him, but none other. You and I are ordered through the scripture, the holy word of God, to stand up, speak up, and make sure that we will continue to stand till his coming on earth or until his calling. I got a call to preach. That, you know, think of it. You remember when Elvis, I know some of you don't know who I'm talking about, but in our day it was Elvis Presley. And every time he was in the performance, and all the girls out there just going nuts about him throwing sweaty handkerchiefs and everything at him. And they never got that excited when I would wipe sweat or anything, but they would do that and throw it out at him. But at the end of it, at the end of the performance and all of that, you would hear the announcer come over the speakers and say, "Elvis has left the building." Remember? You all were standing out there, weren't you? Yeah. "Elvis has left the building." You know why I get excited over that? One of these days, whoo, and it won't be long, Larry has left this earth. Larry has left the body. But Larry coming back with Jesus. And I'm going to be there. You see, it's a promise. Larry, I called you. Hang on to the calling I've given you. Don't pay attention to gifts that I've given you that you could use and make money. Think of the gift that you can use that will glorify my son. Think of it. There's no greater wealth that a human being can have than the peace of mind that comes with knowing you're saved. There's never an end. Fact two. Now listen to me. I told you got to get this to understand the other messages. I am called for God's purpose. Now, as I said, many are called but few are chosen. The calling comes, but in the process of that calling, God watches human being after human being rejecting until the point comes to where they say there is no God. And they continue down this. Yeah, it drives me crazy not understanding how people can say there is no God and in the same process create a God of material items so they can worship materialism. There is no God, but what you own, you love. Oh, yes, I love it. You don't know how many lives I had to destroy to get it. Let me tell you about Jesus. He allowed his life to be given so our life can never be destroyed. You see, I can never be able to keep people from saying bad things about me, but I can keep them from being the truth. You and I have a calling. I'm called for God's purpose. Romans 9:11. We're dealing with Isaac and Esau and Jacob, his sons. Before the two boys were born, which is Esau and Jacob, Esau was the firstborn, supposed to be head of everything in the family. Before the two boys were born, God told Rebekah, that was their mother, the older will serve the younger. Well, that ain't traditional. You know, it must have been a voice from hell that told me that. Can't you imagine the human equation in a voice of God coming in to say, well, that's sure not Jewish. This was before, now listen to it, this was before the boys had done anything good or bad. Huh? God said this so that the one chosen would be chosen because of God's own plan. He was chosen because he was the one God wanted to call, not because of anything he did. There's where a group of people pick up and says, see, you have no choice. You and I have a choice. Do we or do we not accept God's calling? Just because the other one isn't called to stand up and proclaim from a pulpit doesn't mean they're not proclaiming from the gift that God has given and the talent of each one, proclaiming, I love Jesus in her own way. Some get so angry, they quit everything and even quit God. Well, God wasn't there for me when so-and-so died. We are the most selfish generation I can read about, except for the first generation Christians. Now, all of you may think that all of the different denominations, church splitting and all of that, began within our lifetime. It began with the first century church. I mean, they'd beaten each other. They had brawls. It wasn't pretty. And Paul was not very pretty in preaching the sermon he needed to hear. Listen to Ephesians 2:10. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Many are called, but few are chosen. That simply means, here's the calling. I give it to you. Okay, I understand it. And then you accept the calling. You say, yes, I'm saved. I'm baptized. I know that I am. And then you don't follow God in the calling that he's called you to do. You got a problem. Well, that mean going to keep me out of heaven? There's nothing in Scripture that says that it keeps you out of heaven. But it will certainly keep you out of the joy of this world, the joy of living in it, the joy of knowing that in some small way you're making a difference in somebody's life. If it's that one person you make a difference in, is it all worth it? Sure it is, but you need to touch as many lives as you can. When the life comes in front of you, it's not an accident. That person is there to hear something from Jesus that they don't know or have not heard, and he's allowing you the opportunity to show your calling as a Christian. Fact number three, God chose my calling before I was born. God chose my calling before I was born. That means that God would have to know me before I was born. Yeah. I serve a God who knows everything. I get so aggravated again with preachers and all others say, well, now, he doesn't know everything. Yes, he does. There's nothing that exists that he doesn't know. Nothing that's going to exist that he didn't allow it and give an opportunity. I want you to be my children. I want you to be my people. The Hebrew nation became a Hebrew nation under the power of God. Why? No other nation wanted them. Nobody wanted them. So God said, okay, I'm going to take you. What? Who are you taking? The one nobody wants. You and I then have that same calling. But God chose my calling before I was born. Galatians 1:15. It pleased God in his kindness to choose me and call me even before I was born. What undeserved mercy. Jeremiah 1:5. Before I shaped you, God's talking, in the womb, I knew all about you. Before you saw the light of day, I had holy plans for you. But now, Larry, I'm not going to make you follow that path. I'm going to show you that path. I'm going to touch your heart so you understand that's your path. But you need to choose me or the world. Well, Lord, I've accepted Jesus, Lord and Savior of my life. Am I not going to heaven? Yeah. Yes, you are. That's mercy. But are we ever going to grow up as Christians and be about our Father's business? What do we wait till a family member's dead and then we say, oh, how I wish that I'd have taken them in the presence of God's people and God's holy word? Oh, pray for us. Who are you? Well, I'm so-and-so. I'm a member of that church. I've never seen you. Well, I don't go there. I didn't say I went there. I said I'm a member of that church. My name's on the roll. I got news for you folks. The only roll you need to be paying any attention to for your name to be on it, it's the roll that God has. The roll in the Lamb's Book of Life. And when the roll call comes, are you going to be ready? When the roll call is announced, are you going to be there? Are you going to allow your purpose to be the same purpose of God's purpose? Created in Christ Jesus to do good works, and God prepared them in advance. Fact three. On God chose my calling before I was born. God says in Isaiah 44, 2, I am your creator. You were in my care. Listen to it. Even before you were born. Lord, that's sort of deep. Well, let me bring something else to your mind. If that is sort of deep for you, be thankful. Because if you've got the God that you say you serve figured out, you got a problem with that God. God is always going to be deeper in thought than you shall ever be. Fact four. My sins, now listen to me, my sins and my mistakes don't change my call. My sins and my mistake don't change my call. Now, my sins and my mistake, I may allow to be the stone around my neck that pulls me down in the sea of sin. That may be right. But my calling doesn't change. God said, I change not. 1 Timothy 1, 12 and 13. By calling me into his service, Jesus has judged me trustworthy. Even though I used to be a blasphemer, this is Paul talking to Timothy, and a persecutor and contemptuous, mercy, however, was shown me because while I lacked faith, I acted in ignorance. A lot of ignorant Christians. A lot of us stay ignorant simply because we don't find out. It doesn't mean that you're mindless. Ignorance simply means you can be ignorant of, you go out and you look in a diesel engine and someone says, can you fix it? I'm ignorant of that. And then you find later on that that really works. And so the things that you are good with, you say, oh, no, I'm ignorant to that too. God says to my calling, don't be ignorant. I've given you a guideline for your calling. It's called the Bible, Holy Bible. Read it. Fact number five. My calling is permanent. I listen to people say, well, I'm no longer called to preach. Folks, all hell could come against me and bring me down. I could fall right down in the ditch of life with anyone. I know that. And by knowing it and realizing it, that allows me to keep my guard up. Because I know it can happen. But listen to me. My calling is permanent. How many people then, if I cease to preach, are not going to hear the word of God from the one that God called to preach? How many preachers have walked out of the pulpit? You want to know the new stats? I got in last week from the North American Mission Board. 18,000 pastors get out of the ministry every year. 18,000 walk out from pressure from family members to being in that glass bubble where everybody criticized. One thing about our congregation, Nobody's criticizing because everybody's afraid that what they've done was worse than what the other one had done. And we love and we understand. And not only that, you start to gossip, the pastor be on your doorstep. And you don't want him there. You want him out of your business. But you and I must be about God's business. All I have a ministry to complete is a permanent one. I'm going to do this. I'm going to read Romans 11:29, one from the New International Version and one from the New Living Translation. Romans 11:29, New International Version. God's gift and his calling are irrevocable. Oh, I got to think about it. No, you don't. You don't have to think about that one, right? Now listen to it in the New Living Translation. God's gift and his calling can never be withdrawn. That's like people say, well, God has pulled away. Again, you've got individuals that said, oh, no, they had a fall from grace. You can't fall from grace, people. You can't fall from grace. Grace is unmerited favor. You were a mess when God touched your heart. Grace is a part of you throughout eternity. So get about your Father's business. Get about your Father's power that he has for you. Do something, because your calling is permanent. Fact number 6, my calling is connected to others. Well, preacher, I know that you're not too bright about a lot of things, but I enjoy listening to the messages, and I don't enjoy going to a lot of churches, don't enjoy doing that. What does that say? That says that every one of us have the opportunity to minister to someone else that wouldn't feel comfortable. Now, if a person, you're talking to a person in the grocery store, well, I don't feel comfortable going to church, then you be that preacher for them right there. Don't you start saying, if you don't come to church, you ain't going to heaven. No! If you don't know Jesus Christ and accepted him as Lord and Savior, you'll never see heaven. If you don't serve Jesus on earth, you will not serve Jesus in heaven. But all the roadblocks of life God throws in front of you, therefore, a purpose. Slow down. I'm here. I'm to your right. I'm to your left. Don't give up. Stand strong. Lord, am I that connected to others? Every one of us are. You know, at one point in my ministry where I took a whole lot of chances, many of those chances I should have never taken. It wasn't of God, it was of me and the old Marine Corps in me. I'm going to come in that cell block, and if you've got a shank in your hand in that cell block, I'm going to hurt you with it. That wasn't of God. Then I wised up. Lord, if you ain't going in, I ain't going in. Huh? Think about it. My calling is for a purpose. And that gets me connected with others. Ephesians 4:4. We are all one body. We have the same spirit. And we have all been called to the same glorious future hope. Jesus is his name. Grace is the garment he wraps around us. Mercy is what we walk on every day of our life. Pay attention to the voice of God. Understand that everything you do affects those who love you. Everything affects those who love you. So do you do the things that's going to help those that love you, the family, or do you do things that's going to harm them? God said, you got to follow your calling. You want the peace that surpasses all understanding? You want the peace that only I can give you when all hell comes against you? When you hear the cry of the world, when you hear the joy and excitement of having everything physical, one thing will remain: Jesus in your heart. Mercy, joy, love, peace. Can you really have peace in a world that's so vile? If I thought I had to live here for the rest of my life, I'd be pretty miserable. I'm going soon. Yeah, don't you all get too excited, because you're coming pretty soon yourself. I'm a Christian. I know my Savior. I know not only did He die for me, He lived for me. And I know this: there's only one way, and He happens to be that way. Hebrews 3:1. Brothers and sisters, you are holy partners in a heavenly calling. That's God's word translation. You, brothers and sisters, are holy partners in a heavenly calling. I like that. We're together. We form the body of Christ. That's what the church is, the body of Jesus. Sometimes you can't tell it's of Jesus because the body parts are broken down and refusing to come together. Well, you know, I know, preacher, that I got to be with that woman in heaven throughout eternity. But I can't stand it now. Gosh. Could you stand having to be with yourself for eternity with that attitude? Think of it. And one guy told me, he said, yeah, I know that's not good, but I know that God will have mercy on me in heaven, and He'll give me the faith to put up with it. Okay, fact number 7. God empowers. Now, I want you to listen to this title I gave you. God empowers what He calls me to do. Okay, now, catch this. God empowers what? You got it there? Stop there. God empowers what He calls me to do. He empowers the what. I'm calling you to preach, Larry, then I'll empower the what of preaching. I'm calling you to do this, then I'll empower the what as I'm empowering you. If the what ain't empowered, you got a problem. So God said, my calling that I'm giving you, Larry, it will be with power of the what that I'm telling you to do. Ephesians 4:1. I now urge you to live the life to which God called you. 2 Thessalonians 1:11. That is why we always pray for you, asking our God to help you live the kind of life He called you to live. We pray that with His power, God will help you do the good things you want and perform the works that comes from your faith. You can't create your works. Works are there through faith in Jesus. They're His works. That's why He's empowering them. I'm thankful He didn't empower a lot of my works. Aren't you? Okay. 1 Thessalonians 5:24. The one who calls you is faithful, and He will do it. Quit trying to do stuff. Trust the God who gave you the calling. Let Him do it. Don't you try to make something happen. We got to let something happen. What something? I have the slightest idea. But that's something that belongs to God. That what that belongs to God. When it's blessed, the world might as well just stand back and get out of the way. Fact number 8, this is the last one. There's a prize for living out my calling. There's a prize. Paul knew a whole lot about the prize. Philippians 3:14. I press toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heaven bound in Christ Jesus. Paul never said that he had the power himself to press toward the goal. He said, and to win the prize. It's not in him. It's in the calling for which God has called me heaven bound. He just knew the answer. Oh, no, that's what God called me to do, so therefore I'm pressing. I'm not making it happen. It has already happened. Paul, you're not in heaven yet. Yes, I am. I'm there. Count it as I'm already there. 1 Thessalonians 2:12. Live the kind of life that pleases God. That should not give you any trouble deciding that one. Who calls you to share in his own kingdom and glory. Folks, as Christians, you and I have a calling. The call is not just for one Christian, it's for all Christians. One Christian cannot represent Christ totally. I'll do it again. One Christian cannot represent Christ totally. That's because our personality conflicts, that's because of the human mind wanting to take over the spirit. We can't do it. As being called, God says, follow my lead. Follow my lead. I've never had trouble that I couldn't handle following God's lead. I've never got in any more trouble when I'd step off the path. But you see, God says, I love you. I accept that love. I'll give you mercy. I've got it. The faith that you have in me, by that faith, Larry, I'll see you pretty soon. And it don't get better than that. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you for life and for love and the joy, the peace that only you can give us in this salvation. Touch us now that we might touch others. Give us encouragement, Heavenly Father, as we encourage others. Let your will be done in all that goes on in our life. For we ask that in Jesus' name. Amen.